Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
And in this time of year, a lot of you spend time kind of remembering things, right? You reflect on your journey. I know as those that have probably already graduated, as you see these graduating, you remember when you graduated, right? You start reflecting on that. Now, not me, it's a long time ago for me, but can't remember back that far. But, you know, we began to remember things. You know, and today, actually this weekend is called Memorial Day, right? Yeah. It's a time that we remember. That we remember those that have fought in our military services and died, and so gave their life for their country. It's a time of remembrance. It a lot of times gets overshadowed, you know, focusing on everything else happening this time of year, focusing on graduations and promotions, and focusing on so many other things. But this time of year is a really good time to remember, you know. And you start to hear people this time of year as they sit around a lot of cookouts and they start saying, man, where's the time gone? I remember when, you know, they were, you know, you start to see, Facebook likes to help you remember things, yeah. Right? It starts popping up, you know, 10 years ago on this date you were, you know, they start showing you pictures of what you looked like 10 years ago. And you're like, thanks for the reminder, Facebook, you know, it sometimes they make you remember the good, you know. Remember when I'd look like that, not like this, you know? But we spend a lot of time in this reflection, and we get to thinking about things. And, you know, and as I talk to you seniors today and those that have graduated, I know that you're kind of going through these things. You've remembered your career. You remember your high school. You remember the friends you've made. And you begin to just kind of reflect on that. But, you know, there's a danger in looking back because some people get stuck in the past. You know, it's like when some of you now step a little forward, some of you guys maybe that have graduated are getting ready to hit a 10-year reunion. You know, anybody got those letters in the mail? 10-year reunion coming up. 20-year reunion coming up. Y'all just sitting there, a bunch of liars today. No one recognizing nothing. You know, come on, remember. Remember getting those, you know, I remember when I started getting my 20-year college reunion letter. And I'm like, man, that was a long time ago. But, you know, you begin to, it brings you back to remembrance. But when you start going to these reunions, all of a sudden you see someone that looked like they were stuck in the past. Like they 20 years later and they didn't graduate high school. They still wearing their Letterman and their state-bound t-shirt. And they didn't get a new one. You know, they still wearing that old same state-bound t-shirt with mustard stains on it. You're like, come on, man. You know, but some people get stuck in the past. When you look back, you get stuck. Oh, I remember when this happened. I remember that. And it's good to remember, but there's a danger in getting stuck back. It's a danger when you begin to look back in life and say, man, those were the
good old days.
Oh, man, there's a danger in that. There's a danger in that. Because, see, the past is only a picture that will paint your future. The past is something that will just paint your picture for your future, because you can look back at your past and you can see what you were and say, I don't want to be that anymore, and paint a new picture, right? For the future. You can look back and say, man, I really had it together back then. But you know what? That means I have a hope for a better future. There's so many things as you begin to reflect on the past that you say, this is just going to help me be better in the future. Just like many of you are finishing a stage in life, you have to let go of the past to step into a future, right? Do all of our high schoolers have to step out of the past to go to college? Yeah. Do our college students have to step out of what it was like to go to school and now report to work? Yeah. It's different. You got to let go of that to move into something new. And many of you, though, are in that same phase. It could be different phases of life for you. It doesn't just have to be high school or college. Some people are just in different phases of your life as you step from one job to the next. Maybe one relationship to another. right? We're in different phases and different stages, but you have to let go of the past to step into a future. You have to step out of the past to go into a future. You can remember these things, but you have to move forward. Amen? We have a passage of scripture here that we've read often, and I'm going to read it today. I'm going to back up some different verses on it, but Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to start in verse 11. It says, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First of all, I think it's important that we realize that there is none but the Lord that saves. Amen. You can remember where you were, but you have to remember, what I want you to remember today is the life you had before Jesus. Because it says, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. What it was like when you didn't know Jesus? What did you feel like when you didn't know Jesus? Remember that. And then he begins to go on and he says in verse 12, first I predicted your rescue and then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. He's reminding us of things that he's done. I have predicted your rescue and I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity I am God, and no one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. You know, as you've hit certain spots here today, as you've graduated college and as you've graduated high school, no one can take that from you. Amen. Right? Did you get that diploma? I hope you did. I hope it wasn't a blank when you opened it yesterday. You know, but you got it. You got something that no one can take from you. You've made an accomplishment in your life that no one can snatch. But you know, that's what it means when we're in the hand of God. When you follow the things of the Lord and you're in His hand, no one can snatch you away from the Lord. Now, most people get a lot of this confused because some bad things happen to them and things happen to different people that we love dearly. And we say, well, you know, well, this shouldn't have happened to them because, but if they were out of the hand of God, if they were on their own doing their own thing, they're living in the world. They're not in the hand of God, in the protection of God. But if you will make that decision, just like you received that diploma, just like you received that to stay in the will of God, no one can take it from you. No one can take the life that God has promised you. No one can take it away. Only you can lay it down. Only you can let go of it. Only you can walk away from it. But he said, no one can snatch you out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. This is what the Lord says. Remember your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, the Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters. Remember, he's bringing it to his remembrance, the mighty things he did for Moses. He said, remember, I am the Lord. I am the one who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. Remember that. I call forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like the smoldering candle wick. He wants you to remember that. I did these things. He's bringing it to your remembrance. And that's why I think it's important that we do spend a little bit of time remembering what God has done. Because you're sitting here today. You're sitting here today because God brought you from somewhere.
That's right.
Does anybody have a story today?
Yeah.
Does anybody have a past today? I know you don't want to recognize it sometimes, but sometimes it doesn't hurt for us to take a quick look, a little glimpse back, and just remember where we came from.
Yeah.
Remember the victories that God gave you. Sometimes we get caught up in our current situation and we just don't see a victory in sight. Right? Well, everything and nothing's happening for me. I hoped I'd be this by now. I hoped I'd be that by now. And we don't see any victories. But then if you look back to where you were and how far you've come, it's like, wow, God brought me a long way. I may not be as good as I want to be, but I'm not stuck where I was. Somebody said, say amen. You know, I'm so thankful that I'm not stuck where I was. That God brought me forward, despite my past, right? Wherever you're sitting today, I don't know what you've done, but despite your past, God has a future for you. God has a plan for you today. Just remember, just take a glimpse for a moment and look back and say, where was I without Him? Maybe you're even looking back even in your life with the Lord and say, what are the victories that I saw with God? Man, they were great victories. They were great victories. Man, they made you feel good. I've been in some powerful services and God's done some great things in my life. And every once in a while, it's great to look back and see what God has done. But then He says in verse 18, forget all that. I know, I'm done confusing you. I'm telling you to remember everything. But then He says, forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do.
Amen.
It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. If you've graduated high school or college and you've looked at all those accomplishments, that's nothing for what God has for you in the future. Man, if you're sitting here today and you're saying, relationship ended and this happened and that job that I wanted didn't happen and all this, God says, forget it. I have something new for you, and what you had before won't even compare to what I'm about to do. See, the reason why people live in the past is because they don't believe there's anything better. The reason why people live in the past and get stuck in the past is they don't believe that God has something better. They get so stuck that they say, man, that was as good as it's ever going to be. That was the best relationship I'm ever going to have, and I've lost it. It's gone. Oh, poor is me, woe is me. I'm never going to have anything again. Forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I have for you. But you don't understand. I had the best job in the world. And then this person took it from me, or that person did this, or I did this. And yeah, you're not going to have the future you want as long as you're holding on to what you think was the best. But God is saying, God, the creator of the universe, the one that makes all things new, is saying, I have something better for you. Hallelujah. You know, I know it's oftentimes we get stuck in that remembering things. I know that many of you, as you get older in life, maybe you sit there and say, well, you know, I remember when I was younger and I could do this and that. Heck, I'm 45 and I still say that. I'm not 45 yet. That'll be later this year. I get ahead of myself already. But, you know, sometimes I remember, man, I got aches and pains that I didn't have to do. But you know what? That doesn't mean that God still don't have great things for me.
Right.
He still has something better for me. I don't care if you're I don't care if you're dealing with a sickness or an illness right now. You can look back and remember all those times that you had that you were healthy and could run marathons. But God is still saying, I have a better thing for you in the future. Because He says, I move you, as I talked last week, from glory to glory.
Amen.
That means there's something better. That means we have to remember, but then forget.
Yes.
We have to remember everything we had, but forget it. So first, remember a little bit. And now, forget it. Philippians chapter 3. I'll give you very popular verses today. You'll know them all. Most of them. Verse 12, it says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. I just want to make sure I got that in there for the seniors today. For those that have graduated high school or college, you have not reached perfection yet. You know, where's my daughter? I want to see her face. She's all hiding over there. I want to see that face. Turn around here. You haven't reached perfection. I'm preaching to you tonight now. You have not, when you read these things, I have not already reached perfection. But I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed in me.
Amen.
No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting the past, looking forward Yeah, we spend that time, we're looking back at those accomplishments, at those victories, at all that God has done for us. And sometimes we find ourselves getting locked into traditions. In the church world, we call those sacred cows. We call those sacred cows. And most of the time, we have to tell people, sacred cows need to be killed. Because what happens, we begin to look back at the past, we begin to see, well, this is the way this was done, and it becomes tradition. But God says, forget all of that, because I have something new. Amen. You know, I can stand up here today, and I can tell you, I remember all the wonderful things that God's done for my parents and then this church and our ministry. I remember those things. But you know what? What he had that got him from there to here, that's the old. Yeah. I got to have something to get me from here to here because that's the new. Yeah. That's no different in my life than it is in your life. Right. Whatever you needed to get you from here to here is what you needed to get you from here to here. But now God wants to get you to here. Right. And he has more for you. So he says, forget all of the past. This isn't easy for people to do. They find themselves leaning on the past, reliving the past, remorsing over the past. When we find ourselves doing these things, we're not forgetting it. Some people have a box in their closet of their past that they got to get rid of. This is the old me. This was the old things, but I just don't want to let it go yet. But to move on, you got to get rid of the past. You have to get rid of the old things that held you back. Because what do we keep that box for? What do we keep that notebook for? To relive it. Yeah. To remorse over it. Right. To lean into it. That's what we do. We feel sorry for ourselves. We pull out our little thing and just dive right into our depression.
Right.
Hello. We do. But God wants you to remove that. He wants you to forget that. Because let me tell you something, living in the past will cancel the transaction of what God is trying to do in your future.
Right.
When you live in the past, you're missing what God is trying to do in your future. You are the one canceling the transaction that God has for you in the future. Living in the past, holding on to those old relationships are stopping you from moving forward to the new ones that God has for you. Holding on to hurts that people have hurt you are keeping you from experiencing the joy that God has for you in the future. Anything you hold on to in your past bounds you to your past.
Yeah.
But he says, I forget all that and I look forward to what lies ahead.
Yeah.
If you don't look ahead, that means you don't believe there's a God big enough to give you a future. That's what you're saying. When you won't look ahead and see a future, you're saying God's not big enough to beat what I had in the past. And I don't know about you, but I know a big God.
Amen.
I want to take you to a very obscure passage, kind of in Ezra chapter 3, just a couple verses. This little story here, these couple verses I'm going to read you, it deals with the rebuilding of the temple. The temple was destroyed before Jerusalem was conquered and taken into captivity. And they have come together to rebuild the temple. They come in, they're going to rebuild the temple here in Ezra chapter 3. And I'm just going to read a couple verses starting in verse 10. It says, when the builders completed the foundation of the Lord's temple, the priests put on their robes and took their places to blow their trumpets, and the Levites, descendants of Asaph, clasped their cymbals to praise the Lord, just as David had prescribed. With praise and thanks, they sang this song to the Lord. He is so good. His faithful love for Israel endures forever. And then all the people gave a great shout, praising the Lord, because the foundations of the Lord's temple had been laid. But many of the older priests, Levites and other leaders who had seen the first temple wept aloud when they saw the new temple's foundation. The others, however, were shouting for joy. This is a good example of how getting stuck in the past, where you don't appreciate God's promise for the future. Yep. See, that what happened, these old priests, they knew what happened in the past. They saw the old temple. And it was Solomon's temple. In today's terms, it would have been worth between $5 and $8 billion built, this beautiful, immaculate temple. And when they see the new foundation, they weep because they say, it'll never be what it was. Oh, we've lost that. It won't ever be. But you know what? There was a new generation. And they were excited because God, they had a foundation for God to build whatever he wanted to build. But the old was still locked in the tradition of the old. And they said, it can never be what it was. All the glory's left the temple. But God is saying, forget all that. Look forward. I have something new. I have something that we can't live in the past. We can't get stuck in the past because when we do, we discount the present activity that God is already doing.
Right.
Well, you know, I remember the days the churches were packed, and I remember when we had church, you know, 6 nights a week. I remember. Yeah, I do too. I remember when the world was a different place. I remember. We have a pre-COVID timeline that we always hit, right? I heard that even at their graduation the other day. It was like, oh, our generation in our high school, we learned what it was like to do this, and then pre-COVID, and then after COVID, and all of this. Many of you sit in here, and you got these same things.
Right.
You know what it was like, you know, pre-Vietnam,
yeah.
Right? Post-Vietnam. You know, the world has changed. It's a different place. And we can sit and mourn. We can sit and mourn in remorse. Or we can say, we believe that we serve a God that has better things for a future.
Amen.
Because he has better things for a future. He promised that his spirit, that what we've experienced in the beginning, that what we'll experience in the end will be greater. So that means we can't hold on to the past, that we have to forget the past. But if you're mourning the past, you can't focus on the future. You can't focus on the future. It's good to remember, but it's good to forget. I know many of you that have had tough situations in life, you want to forget those. You want to forget them. Sometimes we forget them so much, we block them out of our head completely. And while that is a good thing, it's also good every once in a while to look back and say, oh, God has brought me a long way. God has brought me a long way. We take for granted sometimes how far God's brought us. We lay hold of the old foundations. We lay hold of old things. They're wonderful things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things. I remember wonderful revivals that I've been into in my life. I mean, I was at Brownsville Revival, right? I've sat in Rodney Howard Brown's meetings when the whole church falls out in laughter. I've been there. I've seen it. And I look back at that and I say, man, that was amazing. But I don't mourn for it. I don't cry for it because I believe in a promise that if that was good, God's got something better. I mean, I look at it and I get excited. I don't remorse. I get excited when I see Asbury's revival that just happened. I get excited. Why? It's new. It's different. And I know I saw a bunch of these old priests right here that they were talking about in Ezra, it's all I'm going to say, those Levites that came in and began to say, well, that's not a revival. You know, we had better revivals. We had greater revivals, and you don't know what a revival is. And they go on and on because they're stuck in the old. They're mourning old things, traditions, and sacred cows. Well, there's got to be preaching to be a revival.
Well,
if there's not a prophecy, then, you know, I mean, they go on and on and on. You know what makes a difference? A heart change.
Yes.
That's it.
Amen.
Did someone's heart change?
Yes.
Did they draw closer to the Lord? Well, then they were revived.
Amen.
And there's great, that thing, people came from all over, sold their cars, and traveled from other countries just to get in the presence of the Lord. I look forward to that. I look at that now and I go, man, that was great. But that means God's got something better next. Right?
Yes.
We got to remember what He's done. But I use that remembrance as the building blocks for what's better. I use that. And I literally can visualize and see what God's going to do in this place. Because I know what He's done. Hello, I know the miracles I've seen. If I've seen those miracles and God did those in the past, but He's promised better in the future, I can't wait. But I have to remember and I have to forget. You know, the third thing you have to do is refocus. Refocus. Because Philippians 3:13 there says, but I focus on this one thing. I focus. I focus on forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. You have to focus on what is ahead. No one will get very far by looking backwards. Right? No one will get very far looking backwards. I don't care what phase of life you're in. Graduating from high school or college, changing careers, retirement. Like I said, all these things, looking at new relationships, looking at, you know, whatever. You have to focus on what lies ahead. You have to believe that God has something for you ahead. Jeremiah 29:11 doesn't change. For I know the plans I have for you, they are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. A future is always forward.
That's right.
A future is always forward.
Right.
Someone needs to get that in their spirit today. Because we look at that, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to give me a future and a past. You know, a past and, oh, no, what is it? We get all confused because we think what we had was what God had for us. But He says, I give you a future. A future. Do you know what? Everyone in you in this room, you got a future. Because I believe every one of you are going to see tomorrow morning. Hallelujah. I sure pray you do. Right? I pray you see tomorrow morning. That's your future. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You have to focus. You have to focus on that future. You know, Tiffany and I won't be with you next week. Aw. Never mind. I was waiting for that for you all. Come on. No love today. Because I'm going to be on vacation. Now. Yeah. And I'm excited for it. But you know what? Here's what we do. Here's what we do. As soon as we get home from vacation, we'll get home from vacation on June the 10th. And on June the 11th, we'll start planning our next vacation. You know why? Because I got a future. And I got a hope of another vacation. We always do it. We take one vacation and we get home and the next day we start going, where are we going next? Why? Because I believe in a future. I believe God has good things for me in my future. I'm not going to stay in my past. She's going to make a little memory book, and I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to go, yep, that was nice. But you know what? What's coming next is going to be better. Right? Y'all must not want better today. I don't know who I'm preaching to today. I thought y'all wanted better. A future is always forward. Better is in your future. You have to focus on what lies ahead. You know, I never played baseball. That wasn't a sport for me. But you know, I know one thing. When a fly ball is coming to the outfield, you got to keep your eye on that ball if you want to catch it. Because you take your eye off that ball, and then you may have a black eye. Right? You may miss that ball altogether. So you have to begin to focus on it. I tried one time playing a little pickup game with my cousin. I realized really quick I was terrible at that sport. Because I saw a ball hit, and I'd just take off running to it, and then it would go right over my head. I couldn't judge the distance on a baseball for nothing. You know? I guess I didn't have the focus for it. I couldn't see and understand where that ball was going. And many of us, we take our eye off of what God has for us all the time. We don't focus on what lies ahead. We get in a hurry running ahead of God, and that thing just goes right over our head. That blessing just passes us by. We miss it altogether. We take our eye off of it, and someone else gets it, right? Because we lose focus. You that are in college and high school that have just graduated going into college, you have to focus. You have to focus to make it through. You know, you have to say, I'm going to do this in this amount of time. This is what I want to do, and I'm going to focus. I've got my eye set on the prize. I'm going to focus. You know, I learned a lot about focus in the TV business, right? And I was in the TV business for a long time, and I learned a lot about focus. And when they got these cameras on me today, they have to focus these cameras. And if a camera's just a little bit out of focus, if it's just a little bit out of focus, they're getting up right now, check the focus, look at them. But when it's just a little bit out of focus, you may not be able to tell at first. But when that picture is blown up, and it expands, and it gets to a larger format, all of a sudden you see it, and you start seeing that blurriness. Anybody ever taken a picture on your phone and thought it looked good, and then you printed it out, and the bigger you printed it, the worse it looked? Yeah. It's called focus. Because you didn't get it just right focused, and all of a sudden it gets blurry. See, some of us live life that way. We think we got it in focus, but we're just a little off kilter. And the bigger it gets, you builders would know a thing or two about that, right? I'm not a builder either. You know, but y'all would know a thing or two about that. If something is just a little off over here, by the time it gets down there, it's going to be a lot off, isn't it? That's what happens when you live your life a little out of focus. That's what happens when you live your life a little out of focus from the Lord. You got to focus on your future. You got to focus on the plans He has for you. But when you let it blur just a little, it may not look bad. And it may not look bad at right now. It's a pretty good looking picture right now. But as it begins to expand and blow up, it becomes out of focus. You become off track. You know, the other thing about cameras now, and all of you got all these fancy cameras, they have autofocus on them. Yeah, that's the other half of you. You live life on autofocus. You just hit that little button and say, well, everything's in focus all the time. But the problem with autofocus is when there's your future, anything that comes in between you and your future, yeah, it refocuses. You have to have your future set on the plans God has for you because the enemy comes to distract. And if you're on autofocus, everything that steps in front of your view, you will focus on. That means when that relationship that's not of God steps in front of you, boom, you focus on it instead of what God had for you. When that job that's not of God comes in front of you, you say, ooh, it's a good job, it pays a lot of money. You focus on it and not what God has for you. We focus on the things that come in front of us when we live on autofocus. We can't live on autofocus. You can't go to college, young people, and put yourself on autofocus and think, well, yep, I'm here now. I made it. I got out of high school, and more importantly, I got out of my parents' house. I'm on autofocus to my beautiful future. And then things begin to come into your view and distract you. And before you know it, you're focused on those things and not on what God has for you. You have to focus on what lies ahead. I preached a sermon one time talking about focus, and I said you got to rack your focus because sometimes you're looking here and you need to rack that focus and see what's there. I need some of you to do that today. Stop focusing on the little things that are in front of you, the little problems you're having in life, and rack that focus to see what God has for you because He has a future. All you need to know today that God has a future for you. What you're living in, I want every day that you live in to say it was the worst day of your life. Yeah, because that means tomorrow's the best day of your life. Come on. If God has something better, I want it. That means today is the worst day I'm ever going to have. Because tomorrow God's going to have something better for me. I mean, come on, that's living a life of expectancy, right? We can't live in the past. God's got good things for you and your future. Glory to glory. It's not backwards. Focus on what lies ahead. Remember, forget, and refocus. My last thing for you today, my last point for you today is then you got to pursue it.
Right.
So you can focus on it.
Yeah.
I see it. I see what God has for me. If I live right, that's what God has for me. If I work a little harder, if I learn a little bit more about the Word, I see me being fully restored. I see full health. I see a wonderful relationship in my future. I see a great career in my future. I see retirement one day. He sees it real soon. Huh? He's happy. See? He knows that every day is going to be the worst day of his life. He's got good days. We got to pursue it. Right? We got to pursue it. That's the next thing we got to do. We can't focus and sit back. Church, many people have been stagnant for too long. I'm not saying you don't have a vision of what's coming in the future. I'm not saying that. I believe many of you do. I believe many of you remember the past. I believe many of you forgot the old. I believe many of you are desiring the new. But you're not pursuing it. I believe many people are waiting for it to happen. They're waiting for the next great revival. They're not being the next great revival. I think many people are waiting for their family. They see it. They're going to know the Lord one day, but they're not actively pursuing it. I believe the people sit there and believe when we tell you that this church will be full and the parking lot will be full and we'll build a new place. I believe people see it, but aren't pursuing it. Man, I believe that some of you even sit back and see a new job and a new career and a better future for you, but you won't pursue it. I know that some of you look and see what a marriage could look like. I know that many of you that are married right now look and you see, man, we could be happy. We could like each other. I mean, I see a time in the future where we actually would get along. But you won't pursue it. Because that would mean saying, I'm sorry. That would mean saying, I forgive you. That would mean that we have to put down ourselves and put someone else before us. That's what pursuing it looks like. We got to pursue the things that God has for you. I was guilty of this. I was guilty of this. I used to sit back and say, yep, God has a plan for me one day. Yep, I'm going to be used of God one day, but right now, I'm going to do whatever I want. I didn't pursue it. But what if I did? What would life have looked like now? Don't make that same mistake. If you know God has a future and a plan and a hope for you, and He has a call of God on your life, pursue it now. Refocus. Focus on it. Focus on it and pursue it. I can go around this room and I can say, I know who has a call of God on their life. We can name it. And we can see those not living the call of God. I can go around this room because many times I can go through my phone and I have recorded most of the words that prophets have walked in this house and given each of you. And I can look at it and listen to it and go, yep, not living that one yet. Yep, they're not living that one yet. Why? Because you didn't pursue it. It didn't mean the prophet was wrong. It didn't mean the promise was wrong. It meant we didn't pursue it. God wants you to pursue what lies ahead. A future is always forward. And if your future is always forward, you got to go to it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I'll say this is for the young people today, but going to college and just got out of college, but it's really for all of us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, it says, but people who long to be rich fall in temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Yep. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Pay attention there. It's not God doing these things to you. When you have wandered from true faith, you pierce yourselves. Yeah. You create your own sorrows. It's right there in the word of the Lord. Yeah. Why are things happening to me? Read the word. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things and pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. I'm going to tell you today, don't pursue money or wealth. Pursue a godly life.
That's right.
You're getting ready to get a job. Don't pursue money or wealth. Don't take the highest paying job. Take the job God said take. You're entering into your next phase of schooling. Pursue not the career that will make you the most money, but will fulfill what God has for you.
Yeah.
When you guys go to college and you begin to look at things, many people, that all they do when they flip through that career thing, and again, how much they make, how much they make, how much they make. And I want that job. And then they hate it. Then they don't want to do it. I'm going to tell you, it's okay if you've gotten off path to correct your course, to refocus. I know many of those have had to do that. It's okay. It's okay to refocus, but pursue a godly life. When you pursue a godly life, the Lord will bless you. Just like I talked about last week, when you pursue glory to glory to glory to glory, you look back and then God shows you all that He brought to you. Because you didn't pursue any of it. You pursued Him. Pursue a godly life. Flipping over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, I'll say this is for our young people, but it's for all of us. Hello. Starting in verse 21. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. I want to tell you today, don't pursue lust of the flesh. Keep a pure heart, and the Lord will provide the right companion for you.
Right.
Got a little quiet. Because we spend so much time pursuing lustful flesh, lust of the flesh, youthful lust, things that satisfy our flesh. But the Lord wants you to pursue righteous living and companion with those who call on the Lord. That companionship is important. That companionship is important because who you hang out with matters. Many of you, like I said, going to college, all of those that are getting ready, some of you will go away to college, some of you will just go to different classes, but you're going to school. Some of you will you'll enter a workforce and hang out with new people. That companionship matters. If they don't call on the name of the Lord, if they don't serve the Lord, you can witness to them. You can lead them to the Lord. But if you have a companionship with them, they'll pull you away from the things of the Lord. That's following youthful lust. Don't pursue lust of the flesh. Keep a pure heart, and the Lord will provide the right companion for you. If you won't do that, is you believe you know more than God. I don't think any of us in this room are so bold to say we think we know more than God, are we? So realize He has the right person, the right companion for you. Pursue righteous living. Lastly, I want to go to Psalms chapter 34. Psalms 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you, His godly people. For those who fear Him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Amen. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to the cries, to their cries for help. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to rescue each time. For the Lord protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them is broken. Calamity will sure destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But the Lord will redeem those who serve him. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. That's a promise that God has given to those that search and pursue a righteous life. It says in verse 14, work to maintain it. I know it takes work. I know it takes work. I know it takes work as you guys are going away to college. I know it takes work even as those that are single looking for a relationship. It takes work to pursue these things. It's not easy, and nor is it fun. I say over and over, man, I'm just being real. I say over and over, I would not want to be looking for a relationship today. But you know what? That's me saying I couldn't, I wouldn't. But if you're in that situation, God has someone for you. Because he has a future. A future's forward. It's not backward. He has something for you. But we have to pursue it. And you have to work to maintain it. It takes work. He encourages us to pursue it and not stop pursuing it. Pursue godly living and don't stop pursuing it. Search after him and don't stop searching after him. I told you, knock and don't stop knocking. Right? Knock again. We're all at different phases in our life. All of us. But no matter the phase in life that you're in, we should all be pursuing God. We should all be pursuing God more and more, drawing nearer to him, closer to him. Because I want today to be the worst day of my life. Because I got a future. And if God promised it to be better, I want it to be better tomorrow. That means today's got to be the worst. Amen. I'm going to live it like it's the best. But tomorrow's going to be better. Someone say tomorrow's going to be better. I know some of you parents that have had to let your kids grow up this week. It's hard. Oh, my kids are growing up. They're going out. They're getting jobs. They're going to college. They're pursuing their own things. It's hard. But we got to let them pursue their hopes and their dreams. And just remind them to focus on the things of the Lord. Remember, forget, refocus, and never stop pursuing. Because God has something great. Amen? Would you stand to your feet today? And I'm going to do something I don't always do, but I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Because, you know, sometimes when we have this front going on that we're tough and things are all right and everything's going good. But, you know, we've been living in the past or we've been not able to let things go. And we need God to touch us today. You may need a touch from the Lord today and say, I'm not trying to tell everybody all my struggles, but I need the Lord. I need to pursue the things of God. I desire so. I desire to live a godly life, but I've been struggling. Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you all. Thank you. You know, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you haven't accepted Him into your heart, maybe you have and you've stopped following Him, you know, I want to pray for you today. If you said, I need to draw closer to the Lord, I want to ask the Lord to be the Lord of my life, and I want to ask Him to come into my heart today, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Thank you. Hallelujah. You know, those that are watching online, there's prayers for you. You can say, you know, I've heard this message today and it spoke to me and I need to pursue the things of the Lord and I'm ready to make a decision to follow Him. You can do that today. Father God, for those that are here today that need to make You the Lord and Savior of their life, Father God, I ask that You come into their heart today. Lord, I ask that, Father God, they remember, Father God, from where they have been. But, Father God, as they ask You today to come into their life, they're able to forget all their past and see a future and a hope for them today. Father God, for all those that are here today and that have lifted their hand and said they just need help, Father God, as we pursue a godly life, as we need help letting go of the things of the world, we need help forgetting things in our past, Father God, I speak a special blessing over them today, Lord Jesus. That, Father God, You'll give them the strength and the courage to make tough decisions. You'll give them the strength and the courage, Father God, to end things that are not pleasing of You, to end relationships that are not pleasing of You. Father God, I pray, Father God, that You let their focus shift, Father God, as they see a future, as they see the future that You have for them today, Father God, and they begin to pursue it. They begin to pursue the life that You have for them. Lord, I ask that You just give them a new joy. That tomorrow as they wake up, Father God, that they see a future. That they see the hope. That they begin to see the plan that You have for them, Father God. I ask that You fill them with joy in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father God, for what You're doing in our hearts today. For those, Father God, I pray, for those going to college, those looking for a job, Father God, You'll give them the right job. Those that are going to college, You'll give them the right friends. Father God, I thank You, Lord, that You're making a way for them. Lord, that You're opening up the blessings that You have for them. Father God, I thank You for Your people today. They're wonderful people. They're beautiful people in the name of the Lord. And I thank You that You're blessing each and every one of them right now. In the name of Jesus. If you receive that, just say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many know God is good? Amen. I hope today that you realize that there is a future. And it's forward. And I want to see you walk your best life. Because we need you. We need you on the battlefield. To do what God wants to accomplish. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, we love you guys. Enjoy this weekend, even though it is raining today. You got a beautiful day yesterday. You'll get one tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.